Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Good morning, Lee.
Howdy there, Tara.
Well, the left will not rest until they find a way to get a hold of your kids.
Yeah.
And they use any vehicle that they can. In this case, the Girl Scouts, which just gave the highest award that it gives to a girl who organized a pro-abortion campaign.
Gee, that's real nice.
Yeah.
What kind of badge you get for that?
Apparently you do. You get the Gold Award, which is the highest honor that you can get. Meghna Gopalan recently profiled in a Tucson publication for getting the Gold Award. Her project involved working with the Pro-Abortion Women's March and its affiliate in Tucson to help educate people, who want access to reproductive health care, i.e. abortion, and destigmatize access to women's health care. Those were her terms, euphemisms for abortion.
Well, you know.
Basically, she worked to find ways to let women know about places they could go.
What is
to have their pregnancy assessed.
What is reproductive about abortion? I mean, that's such a misnomer to begin with.
Well, there's nothing reproductive. You're,
that's exactly. You're killing. You're stopping reproduction.
Yeah. But remember that woman, what was her name? Wendy something from Texas, who wore a catheter so that she could filibuster for hours in favor of late-term abortion in the Texas legislature?
Had the tennis shoes on.
After she did that, the Girl Scouts of America put a tweet out honoring her. As an American, a female role model, an American hero.
Oh, wow.
So all it takes to get that from the Girl Scouts apparently is a catheter. And the willingness to use it.
And they're perfectly fine with there being a lot less girls around to be Girl Scouts, I guess.
Yeah, I guess that's the idea. It's a shame, too. I was in Girl Scouts. I loved Girl Scouts. I still, to this day, I don't forget their names or their faces, Mrs. Marlatt and Mrs. Lyons. And boy, they were awesome, man. They were hardcore. I mean, you know what it takes to take a bunch of 9-year-olds and 10-year-olds out into the woods for like 4 days, 3 nights.
It takes a lot of intestinal fortitude.
Yeah, and they would, man. We would go on the best camping trips. We'd be out there in the woods. It's not that, not the lame trips that scouts do today with 5,000 permission slips and a meeting with the lawyer beforehand. You know what I mean? This was back before all that. When people are like, oh, you slid down the hill in a mudslide, just dust that off. You'll be okay. you know what I mean? It didn't take a whole bunch of lawyers to do anything. And, I mean, they would take us out there. We would do real camping.
Yeah.
Not lame camping.
Not
where you
glamping.
Go to a camp. No glamping there, boy. We would go out there. I mean, we would cook our own food. We would pitch our own tents. We were living in the woods. And, I mean, they still have an impact on my life today. I still love to go hiking. And me and the family already have several hiking trips planned for the spring. Can't wait for travel season. And, I mean, all that came from Girl Scouts and stomping around in the woods. And those women were just great role models. You know, it was never political. It was just cool and fun.
That's what is so sad is that liberal, progressive, secularist weaponize everything. And they do this with things that are involving children, dealing with things that are not age appropriate, not allowing these children to live through their childhood with some type of sense of innocence.
I know.
And that's what to me is so frustrating, that children these days are robbed of that innocence at such an early age, if they make it to be born.
Right, at all, if they're fortunate enough for that. You know what's funny about that? My time in Girl Scouts was so special to me. My mom had saved all of my vests and my jacket with all of the patches she had sewn on. And my husband actually found them in the garage, some stuff my dad had given us. I mean, all these years later, I still have them.
Good.
She still saved them. And so, my daughter said she wanted to join scouting when she was in second grade. It was second or third. I can't remember what year it was. But, man, my heart broke because I was like, how do I do this? So we put her in American Heritage Girls, so she doesn't know the difference.
Yeah, they're all alternatives.
Yeah, we have had a lovely time in that troop. We've had a wonderful, just wonderful time. So that's good. There are alternatives. But, I mean, I never thought, it was inconceivable to me that I wouldn't put my daughter in Girl Scouts growing up.
Well, I mean, like I said, I blame the left for this. I mean, I realize that, conservatives have things that they want to stand up for, too, and as I think they should. But, I mean, the left goes out of its way to politicize everything. And And at such an early age, it's just it's disturbing. I mean, there's once again, I just think that innocence is lost on the next generation entirely.
Yep. And that is such a shame to watch children lose the innocence and how hard it is to protect them from that, you know, just by sending them to school even.
And forcing them to hear about and think about and be exposed to things that they do not have the cognitive ability or life experiences to process.
No. No. And it's everywhere. It's everywhere. And it's absolutely maddening. I don't know what other way to put it. And completely frustrating. All right. So meanwhile, speaking of maddening and frustrating, we were talking earlier about Ilhan Omar, and now they've put off the anti-Semitic censure of her again.
Yeah, yeah.
Not that it really would have been a censure of her since they've stripped her name.
Yeah,
from
exactly.
It.
Since her name. Yeah.
Meanwhile, you got Horizontal Harris defending her along with Elizabeth Warren.
Every time you say that, that cracks me up.
Yeah. Well, I mean, you know, if a Republican had gotten their start having an affair with the mayor
of San Francisco.
Yeah. Who then did an editorial saying, yeah, I totally got her like a $70,000 a year job while I was cheating with her on my wife.
Yeah.
So what? That's graft? Corruption? It's also legal in California? Well, she's a member of the left, I'm sure.
Exactly.
So, yeah.
None of that matters.
I'm sure she just did the horizontal thing for the attraction, not the jobs. Anyway, she credits that councils he appointed her to that had nice salaries with launching her political career. That's why I call her Horizontal Harris.
Yes.
So, anyway, as described by them, not me. There you go. Meanwhile, so you got Ilhan Omar, who, you know, just shockingly is asked, hey, would you vote for a bill that condemns anti-Semitism? Won't answer the question. This is where we are with the modern Democrat Party. They are mainstreaming anti-Semitism. But what people don't understand, Lee, about Omar, I mean, aside from the fact that she was married to a brother, and committed immigration fraud, which is not a big deal because she's a Democrat. When she was a Minnesota state representative, they busted 9 Minnesota men for attempting to travel to Syria to fight for ISIS. That would be the wrong side of the war, although that's not always clear to the Pentagon. Anyway, the 9 Minnesota men were facing decades in prison after being accused in 2015 of making plans. They had gone so far as to buy fake passports in their effort to travel to Syria. They got busted and they were tried, and she was outraged. Here's what she wrote at the time. The best deterrent to fanaticism is a system of compassion. We must alter our attitude and approach. If we want to affect change, we should refocus our efforts on inclusion and rehabilitation. How do you include ISIS? Look, I'm looking to include ISIS. I'd like to invite them in to join my church group. What? The left, they don't even say how you do this. Anyway, she goes on. She actually wrote this defending these ISIS jihadis. Incarcerating 20-year-old men for 30 to 40 years is essentially a life sentence. Yeah, I think that's the idea. Society will have no expectations of the to-be 50 or 60-year-old released prisoners. It will view them with distrust and revulsion. Yeah, I think that's the idea, she said. Anyway, she went on to say that it was just cruel and that the sentences were too long and that we should have leniency for ISIS. This was at the height of Syrian war when, I mean, right around the time, you know, they're burning men in cages, beheading people left and right. No, she has no big deal. Compassion.
Just shaking my head.
I'm telling you.
That's just...
I know. Heather, on the early Fox News show, talked about this. She's almost never talked about. I mean, honestly, her ISIS stuff is almost as alarming as the anti-Semitic stuff she says. I mean, can't believe she's a sitting congresswoman, but here you go.
Group of individuals in Minnesota that were accused of trying to join ISIS. They went so far as to buying fake passports so that they could travel to Syria to fight for ISIS. But she thought that the courts should go lenient on them.
This is really treasonous. ISIS is the penultimate Islamic terrorist organization that has done horrendous things. They've killed thousands and thousands of people who are of different religions or are Muslims but aren't quite as radical as they are. You know, that she can have compassion for these sorts of people who have done really the most barbaric acts imaginable. They have burned people alive in cages, they have beheaded people, but we're supposed to show compassion for those that want to join this group. Mm-hmm. And that is really demonstrative of where this person's allegiances are. And since they consider America the arch enemy and the quintessential evil, she should not be having a place in this very, very sensitive and important committee where she will have access to classified information.
And when she was doing that in terms of these nine Minnesota men, it was the height of ISIS violence and brutality, where those videos that you just mentioned were being released of the beheadings and the individuals being held in cages.
Yep.
There's your U.S. congressperson from Minnesota for you.
Yes. Well, you know, we need representation for everyone in Congress, I guess, even ISIS.
Democratic Party should be so proud.
Oh, they are. No, they totally are. What happens if let's go fight them over there so we don't have to fight them here? Why are we swearing them into Congress? For ISIS, for anti-Semitism, against Jewish people, Ilhan Omar, who recently graced the cover of the Rolling Stone. Did you see this? Yeah, great future women leaders of Congress. But leading us where exactly? They don't say. Here's human rights attorney Brooke Goldstein on Ilhan Omar and the national emergency, the national crisis of anti-Semitism in the Democratic Party.
The level of anti-Semitism that's being tolerated by the Democratic Party right now, I think, has risen to a level of a national emergency. We have a Foreign Relations Committee, which is responsible for defining and executing and shaping U.S. foreign policy. We have someone sitting on that committee who is a racist whose views are more aligned with Islamic Jihad than they are with the U.S. Constitution. We have Democratic members of government who are campaigning with people like Linda Sarsour, who is connected to the Palestinian Front for the Liberation of Palestine, a designated terrorist group. And now we have a Democratic Party that's been hijacked to the extent that it cannot even pass a resolution condemning anti-Semitism without being forced to water it down and make it meaningless.
Yep. That's what they're doing. That's what they're doing. Truly frustrating, I got to tell you. By the way, did you hear this? You probably heard it now on the news. Alex Trebek has stage 4 pancreatic cancer. Very sad. I was talking to Lee about this earlier. Of course, the host of Jeopardy. He'll continue to host Jeopardy, at least for now. But what isn't that, for me, that's the sound of my childhood. Jeopardy in the background of my mom's television. And Alex Trebek and Jeopardy were one of her favorites. And so my dad... in his infinite wisdom and total cheapness, instead of getting a television for the living room and for the kitchen, came up with a brilliant idea. He would put it on wheels so that, you know, she could roll it back and forth. So she'd have the TV in the kitchen when she was cooking, and then she could have it in the living room. Because he was just that kind of guy, Dad was. She rolled that thing around. Anyway, she always rolled him in. It was one of the background noises of my childhood. Isn't that funny how smells and background noises, you hear them today, and it all just comes flooding back for you? Yeah. Well, anyway, Alex Trebek put out a audio message about having the cancer, and took a really sad subject and made you laugh at the end. Here you go.
Just like 50,000 other people in the United States each year, this week I was diagnosed with stage 4 pancreatic cancer. Now, normally the prognosis for this is not very encouraging, but I'm going to fight this, and I'm going to keep working. And with the love and support of my family and friends, and with the help of your prayers also, I plan to beat the low survival rate statistics for this disease. Truth told, I have to, because under the terms of my contract, I have to host Jeopardy for 3 more years. So help me, keep the faith, and we'll win. We'll get it done. Thank you.
Well, I hope he makes it. I hope he makes it through the 3 years. I do. All right. Time to change it up a little bit. I've got some good random facts today. Let's start there.
And now it's time for...
Five.
Random
facts.
First random fact, grapefruits. Ugh, I don't like grapefruits. That's so bitter. Any kind of fruit you need to dump like half a pound of sugar on just to eat, I have no use for it. But anyway, grapefruits were called shaddocks until the 19th. century, up until when people had the good sense not to eat them much. Random fact number two, most people in Ghana are named after the day of the week they were born. For example, boys born on Friday, usually named Kofi. On Saturday, it's Kwame. I didn't know that. Random fact number three, Atlanta went through four names in the first 11 years. It was originally called Terminus. Oh, Terminus, like from The Walking Dead. That's pretty cool. They should have kept that. When it was founded, it was Terminus when it was founded in 1836. Then they switched the name to Thrasherville. Sounds like something out of a horror movie. Then Marthasville, and finally Atlanta in 1847. Random fact number four, the surface area of a cat. In case you've always wanted to know. The surface area of a cat, including all the fur, is about the same as a ping pong table. I have no idea how they know that, and I don't want to know. Random fact number five, Billboard was originally a trade magazine for the actual billboard industry in the 1890s. Then it evolved to cover the entertainment companies that bought lots of billboard ads, like circuses. By the 1930s, it was finally doing music charts.
This has been today's edition of
1, 2, 3, 4, 5.
Random
facts. All right, to the Common Sense Retirement Planning text line we go. Texter writes, hey, Tara, I was a Cub Scout in the early 80s, and they were all about being rough and tumble boy stuff. And no offense, but it was no girls allowed. Well, that was probably all a gender construct, and you imagined the whole thing. But thank you for texting me. All right, Texter writes, this is Anthony from Greer. My son found all my old Boy Scout stuff. I know he wants to be an Eagle Scout like his daddy. Oh, that's sweet. My husband's an Eagle Scout. Says a lot that our boys aren't even enrolled in scouting because of the, well, politics again that Lee and I were talking about with the Girl Scouts. Texter writes, why were those ISIS fighters not tried for treason and executed in public for everyone to see? Is not treason still a crime? No, our last president committed it regularly. So, no, everybody's fine with it. By the way, as long as you're a Democrat. Now, don't do it. No, don't try it if you're not a Democrat or a member of a Democrat grievance group. Texter writes, I didn't know Rolling Stone was still being published. I thought it stopped decades ago. No, it's still out there. Another texter writes, Tara, grapefruit is delicious. All right, I'll take your word for it. Maybe you can try it again. I'm not convinced. Another texter writes about Girl Scouts giving its highest award to a girl who did a pro-abortion project. Because we want to make less Girl Scouts, more cookies. Texter writes, reason enough not to buy Scout cookies. Yeah. And finally, yep, leave it up to millennial snowflakes to mess up the Girl Scouts. Well, and everything else they touch. And finally, maybe conservative women should infiltrate the Girl Scouts and counter the indoctrination of the left. Not a bad idea. Okay, so it's just been within the last week that the Washington Post Lee has fact-checked. And they know because they're everywhere. And besides, they can tell by looking at you. That women are not raped at the border on the trip up here. It just doesn't happen. The president made it up. And they're certainly not duct taped and brought against their will. That doesn't happen. These are just crazy ideas the president got into his head. Well, you remember me telling you about the one woman I know that social services, you know, through my church had met. She was brought here against her will, prostituted, and at age 13, at 17, escaped because she was pregnant. She's an illegal immigrant, but not by her own choice. And that makes me think, my gosh, how many people are being sex trafficked into this country? Well, the Washington Post says it never happens, never, ever, ever, ever. And I just always wonder, how can you fact check a negative like that?
Yeah.
No, it doesn't happen. How do you know? Because we know. Well, here we go. Steve Coppitz, president of Princeton Policy Advisors, did a study on this using federal data. It shows that roughly 2,600 migrants will be murdered and roughly 103,000 will be raped or assaulted during their 2019 migration to the United States. Yeah. We estimate 80,000 migrants, women were raped or coerced into sex against their will during 2018, rising to 103,000 or higher migrant numbers in 2019.
I don't guess the Washington Post will be hiring him anytime soon.
No. They like fake news better. Alongside the murder and the rapes, he predicted 34,000 kidnappings, 21,000 cases of forced labor trafficking, and a mere 106,000 robberies during 2019.
Well, I mean, this is like the argument that the left always makes about, Trump's lying when he says all these drugs are coming through the border. Well, how do you know that they're not? Because you're not catching them. We know the amount of drugs that are coming through the actual, you know, the gates, the ports of entry. Yeah, because you catch them there. But if you're not finding any and you're not looking for it on the southern border where those ports of entry are not, then how do you know that it's not coming over?
He talked about, and, you know, he goes on to, you know, basically talking about this, you know, and about Kirstjen Nielsen saying, you know, because of the increase in violence at ICE, we have, when we have families with children, we have to give every girl a pregnancy test over the age of 10. I'm just blown away
with
that.
That's just horrific.
It's horrific. I mean, and so, you know, when you talk about this, these same Democrats who, you know, are outraged that somebody could be put in a quote-unquote cage, they're not cages, they're... you know, like more like holding rooms that are fenced. That is done because we don't know who the kids are and who the parents are. Remember when the Democrats went nuts, outraged that we would do a DNA test to see if they're related?
Yeah,
they're just stripping away any way we could protect these kids from being sex trafficked and abused. It's because they want more bodies here. They need
exactly.
More bodies.
They want open borders because they want more bodies, and they want to be able to change those census numbers so they can then take over more congressional districts. That's what this is. I just don't see. There's no other logical, possible, plausible reason why people would want to do something like this. It is only for power.
And we heard Representative Benny Thompson from the hearings yesterday saying, hey, listen, you know, he's grilling her on keeping children in cages and how terrible are you for that. But they don't want to talk about the women raped. They don't want to talk about the children raped. They don't want to talk about the children who were sex trafficked. They don't want to talk about that. They just deny the reality. But after all that happened, you're raped, you're sex trafficked at huge numbers. And again, Doctors Without Borders, that is a liberal group. They are
yes,
a left-leaning
they are.
Group. They say it's at least a third of women are raped on that journey, women and girls are raped on that journey. So this is not a right-wing group. It's not Donald Trump. It's not crazy. He didn't hit his head. This is Doctors Without Borders who've treated a lot of these women, and it echoes exactly what they're saying at Department of Homeland Security. This is a horrific journey for those who make it.
They just don't care.
They just don't care. And then you throw that at them, and they go, oh, fake news. There's no emergency. So, I mean, they're very smart. They want to look like they care about kids. Can't put them in a cage. Call it a cage. Can't put them in a cage. But, you know, the rape is fine. We'll just keep incentivizing them from coming here. Breitbart writes, and they put it really well, however, several Democrat legislators tried to undermine President Donald Trump's pro-American border policy by loudly declaring their concern for two sick children who died in U.S. custody after they were carried across the border by their migrant parents.
Supposedly.
Well, yeah. I mean, one of them hadn't been given water for 72 hours. They leave that part out. As if somehow this is the Border Patrol's fault. It's ICE's fault if this happens. They leave out the relevant details. But, I mean, people being killed. I mean, for years I've been reading in Breitbart about, you know, the bodies of toddlers washing up on a Rio Grande. They don't care. Believe me, that's the I mean, they put the kid in a cage. That's the safest. It's not a cage. I've seen pictures of it. But and they did, they, you know, they installed them during the Obama administration. They never mentioned that either. But
yeah,
that's the least bad thing that happened to the kid on the way here. That's probably the safest they've been since they left wherever they came from.
Yeah.
It's incredibly frustrating. But they're so good at virtue signaling. They're so good. Oh, the kids in cages, it's terrible what they do. Here you go.
We still using cages.
DBP never purposely put a child in a cage if you mean a cage like this.
Purposely or whatever, are we putting children in cages as of today?
Children are processed at the border facility stations that you've been at. Some of
them. And I've seen the cages. I just want you to admit that the cages exist.
Sir, they're not cages.
But in her testimony, Nielsen painted a troubling picture of.
Yeah. So there you go. And again, as you mentioned in her interview with Tucker Carlson, Tom Homan, who was the head of Customs Border Patrol at the time, was like, yeah, I installed them. They're not cages. I installed them during the Obama administration.
Yep. 2014, 2015.
Yep.
No Democrat had any problem with that during that time.
No, it was totally fine. It's the only problem when Trump does it. And again, they were put there because of the large number of children on the border, and they needed a way to separate the children from the adults because they did not know whether those adults were trafficking them or were related to them. And so Democrats are like, we don't want DNA testing. We don't want to know if they're being sex trafficked. We just want to, if the adult has the kid, doesn't matter if he's cartel, doesn't matter if he's the pimp, doesn't matter if the kid's a victim and a kidnapped victim, we just send him on her way. No questions asked. And then as they go out the door, oh, by the way, would you mind filling out the census form for us?
Yeah, so exactly. That,
fill out this form so that we can go ahead and get more congressional districts in sanctuary states and cities. Please vote Democrat. Amen. I wonder what's going to stop this invasion. Do you think anything will, or we're just going to? I mean, we have open borders right now. They are wide open.
Yeah.
They are more wide open even than during the Bush administration, which is something we've not really seen till this month. I mean, numbers wise,
we
have echoed the numbers at the Bush administration, the height and of Bush leaving parts of the border open, and I mean, it's looking to go higher. I mean, how do we go forward, Lee? I mean, are we just going to have a country with no borders? Are we?
Exactly where we're headed. That's exactly what the intent is of this one party.
And I don't see what stops it. I mean, they've already stolen 20 congressional seats. They'll steal 20 more. Now they got 40 that they've moved from red areas to blue areas using sanctuary cities and then counting illegals in the census, even though they can't vote and aren't citizens. And they'll steal 20 more and 20 more. And I guess you get there, we can't win anymore in our own country. Citizens don't get representation anymore. Yeah. And then I guess they just do whatever they want, leave the border open all the time.
Yeah, pretty much.
And then we descend into violence and chaos. I think that's the plan.
Might as well just hand them the snap cards as they come across the border.
I think we pretty much already do that. Yeah. Pretty because they do. They sign them up right there at the refugee status stuff. Even if they're here illegally, it doesn't matter. So, I mean, I think they do. Text writes, "Hey, Tara." Oh, I'm sorry. This is an email from my friend Ralph. Tara, you got to work on your Southern accent. The correct Southern pronunciation of Atlanta is Atlanta. Ask Lee. He knows.
Correct.
All right, we'll work on this at the break. Let's jump on the Ingalls Advantage talk line to talk to Steve. Hey, Steve.
Hey, Tara. How you doing?
Good. How are you?
I'm doing well, thank you. I think you guys have missed something here.
Okay.
I think this is like the rope-a-dope. It's like Brer Rabbit. Please don't throw me in the briar patch. All these poor people, just let them come over. I think that there are people in Congress. I think there are people in other positions of power that are participating in trafficking, and they want those people still coming across the border for that reason. If it was just the votes, heck, they've got 40 or 50 million illegals in this country now. They've been saying 10 million for the last 20 years. So it's more probably like 40 or 50 million. They've got enough people. They could win any election they wanted to if they get by with it. I think they're involved in trafficking. That's my piece.
Like individual Congress members?
I think there are Congress. Who is screaming the loudest and the longest and the hardest about this stuff? And I think you start looking, you're going to find some of those people are involved in the trafficking. That's what I think.
Well, we can say this for certain. They have no problem with trafficking. They're A-OK cool with it. In fact, they're pretending it isn't happening, which is just it's just shocking. But then again, this is brought to you by the party that's OK with killing the baby literally at term. At 9 months old. So, I mean, they can't possibly care what happens to young girls, the third of whom are raped on the way up here. They just can't possibly care. I mean, it's no big deal. By the way, I talk all the time about how we live in two Americas. Do we not, culturally? I mean, there literally are two Americas. And that's increasingly becoming a problem on so many levels. And, you know, it used to be when I started talk radio, I know it was about like 12 years ago. Liberals could call here and we would have a debate based on the facts. Well, we can't even have a debate because we can't agree on what the facts are. There's a crisis with record numbers of illegals on the border. No, there isn't. Yes, there is. No, there isn't. Yes, there is. We can't even get past that. Fake news. No, it's not. Yes, it is. I mean, the New York Times in dueling, corrections and the Washington Post can't even figure out what the real news is. I mean, they're going to have to start coordinating their fake news. So one of the publications doesn't accidentally publish real news and delegitimize what the other is saying. As just happened. It's happened twice in the last week. Washington Post has debunked something. New York Times said it was true. So, I mean, in that swirling chaos, where we already have two separate cultures, two separate sets of facts, and two separate sets of media outlets. It's like two countries trapped in one, well, borderless autonomous region that used to be America. But now we're going to have separate debates, apparently. Do you see this? President Donald Trump reacted to the news that the Democrat National Committee has decided not to allow Fox News to host any of their primary debates. Good, Trump replied on Twitter. Then I think I'll do the same thing with the fake news networks and the radical left Democrats in the general election debates. Finally! Why on earth do we submit our candidates to questioning from CNN when the other side will never get the tough questions we do? Why? These are all questions asked from a leftist perspective. They're designed to humiliate. It's not a legitimate debate to get at the facts. It's none of that. It's a hit job. Skip it. Skip it. Let Fox News do it. They'll be fair. They always are. They're tough on Republicans and Democrats. DNC Chairman Tom Perez said that Fox News Channel's close relationship with the president meant that they would not allow the cable news network to host any of their debates. Okay. Has anybody looked at CNN lately? No, nobody's looked at CNN. Okay, because their entire roster of commentators just about reads like a who's who of the DNC and the Obama administration. But apparently that's okay. I mean, these are people who think George Stephanopoulos and David Axelrod are legitimate commentators. They're not. They're political operatives. Just to be clear, Perez said, Fox News will not serve as a media partner for the 2020 Democrat primary debates. Awesome. We'll just have our own primary debates. No. We're already existing in two different universes with different sets of facts. We might as well have separate primary debates. Why not? We practically have two political systems here. We have two different legal systems here in this country. Yeah, we got the one legal system that is actual federal law, and then we have sanctuary areas where they just don't practice federal law anymore. So why not? We'll have two separate sets of news, two separate sets of debates. We'll just pretend we're not one country. Because why not, right? Why not? So good for the president for doing this. And you know what's funny about this? This was a dumb move on the part of the left. No, it really was. Because about the only way they're going to trip Trump up good is in one of these debates. In one of these where he can't flee, he can't end the press conference, he can't do anything. This was a great opportunity for them to pull the rug out from underneath him, and they just gave him. They just gave him an out. You know, before they would have just, you know, whacked him for diving out of debates and saying it's not fair. Now, they just paved the way. Fine, awesome, cut Fox News out. He'll cut them out. And he can do it. He'd be justified. This was a dumb move. I've never seen the left make so many dumb moves. It's like a miracle, really. They're usually much smarter than we are. They usually are. All right, we're going to get back into all that kind of stuff again tomorrow. Incredible what goes on. And yet, economically, we continue to win and to win and to win. It's going to be interesting to see in this presidential election what the country chooses. Do we choose to continue to be a successful economic country or no?
Protect your vehicle's engine with a full synthetic oil change and save with Mobil 1 at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Purchase 5 quarts of Mobil 1 full synthetic motor oil and receive a $10 O'Reilly gift card after rebate. See store for details. With your Mobil 1 purchase, you'll also receive 2x points during Old Rewards Bonus Points Month at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
O'Reilly.